choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. We ask God's blessing on the most dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked.
We have liftoff.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Well, this, as we approach the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, of humans stepping on the surface of another celestial body, there's a lot of stuff. There are a lot of different television shows, movies, other things you can find that will commemorate this. But leave it to American Experience and PBS to do, if not the one of the best. Mm-hmm. And they have done that with Chasing the Moon, American Experience. It's on Channel 11 tonight. Part 2 is on tonight. And, of course, they're going to, you know, as they do on Channel 11, they, you know,
sure,
rerun these things, and then you get a tote bag. That's the most important thing. We are honored to be joined by Robert Stone, who is the writer, director, and producer of this three-part series, which is a pretty astounding work, Robert. It is... you know, the problem, I think, as a filmmaker, I would imagine when you, as you approach this project, was you knew there's so much other material that's going to be made that's already out there, and so how do you make this different? What angle do you take to put a new spin on it, or at least a way that the audience is going to experience this whole thing differently? What did you do there?
Well, I didn't start this project thinking, oh, I want to make a movie about the race to the moon and how can I make something different. I got into this out of a sense of personal frustration that, you know, there's been a lot of documentaries made about this and a lot of new ones out this year as well. But I never felt that they had captured what I remember it was like to be alive as a kid, when we were leaving the Earth for the first time and going off to another world. And to me, the main event was here on Earth, how it impacted us, the context in which this whole thing took place, where this whole idea of going to the moon sprang from, and who were the people who made it happen. That's a story that I felt really hadn't been told. And I also knew that there was a ton of archival footage way, way, way beyond the NASA collection that had never really been tapped. And so that's what we did. We started going. I've been at this for 5 years. We tapped into over 100 different film archives and produced a 6-hour movie that really covers the entire sort of 25-year history of the effort to put a man on the moon.
Right. It takes you up through the after World War II, right? And they were trying to figure out these super rockets, and then the super rockets were going to be intercontinental ballistic missiles, but then they realized they could leave at the Earth's atmosphere, and if you timed it right, you could get out of the, you know, get away from the Earth, because it's not as easy as it sounds. You don't just shoot yourself up there and then you know and you're gone. And then they then the idea was, I think it was a brilliant moment of politics in the early 1960s, right, when John Kennedy decided that he was going to make this literally a hill that America was going to take.
Yeah, I think that's one of the mythologies about the Apollo program, is this idea that Kennedy just sort of got up there and made this speech, Congress appropriated the money, and you know, NASA went to work, and
right, it's already been
8 years
works.
Later, yeah. We were on the moon. Yeah. The politics, the political maneuvering and sustaining public support for this over the better part of a decade through multiple administrations was as challenging, if not more so, than the technological feat that NASA achieved in actually putting a man on the moon. That's the great lesson of Apollo, you know, going forward.
Well, because we haven't done it again. Right. I mean, that's the thing, is after the Apollo program, and then we had the space shuttle program, but the space shuttle never went as near Earth orbit. I mean, it wasn't even about getting out anywhere in distance. It was about, experimenting with the human condition and then the condition of life as we understand it on the planet out in space and zero gravity and all that. And that's what the shuttle and then the International Space Station program have all been about. But and also about military payloads. Right. And commercial payloads. This is really this that we did it, and then because the incredible funding for this, the effort that has to go into it, that we just don't seem to be able to muster that again. It's interesting that of all the people that you know, Donald Trump is the one who's trying to reinvigorate the a passion for going to space and going on beyond, because we've been talking about Mars now for what, 30 years, right? After we were done with the moon, we were talking about Mars. Mm. 50 years almost.
Well, every president since Kennedy has announced some spectacular, moon mission or planetary mission or something. I don't take it too seriously. I mean, the important thing, and this comes across in the film, you know, it's the follow through. It's not just getting up and making a speech. And even Kennedy had his doubts about the whole thing within weeks of proposing that we go to the moon. He started, you know, trying to find a way to cooperate with the Soviet Union because he thought that the expense was so great. But, you know, he had the follow through. He marshaled the political powers he had to push this through, and kept at it and kept at it. And Johnson picked up the ball after Kennedy was assassinated. And even Nixon was supportive of it, too, until it kind of fell out of favor. But it's the follow through. So I think a lot of the talk about, people like to sort of summon the legacy of JFK's Rice University speech that you played at the head here. But it's what you do after you give the speech that counts, not the speech.
And Robert, you talk, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it's called the American Experience and Chasing the Moon. And the context of the time, of course, we look back at it and we see this incredible moment of triumph for America and for the world and for science and technology and dreaming and ambition. But of course, at the time, not everybody thought that this is where we should be spending our money, because this is all playing against the context of the protests of 69, social unrest, Vietnam, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes I think we tend to look back at that and think like everybody was on board for this, but that wasn't really the case, right?
No, it was not the case at all. In fact, if you look at the polling numbers, the only time in which a plurality of Americans supported the space program or thought, you know, that this was worth the effort was for a brief period during Apollo 8, the first mission around the moon in 1968, and a brief period around Apollo 11, the first landing on the moon. For the rest of the time, majority of Americans, when polled, thought it probably wasn't worth it. They liked it. They liked the idea of it, but they didn't think it was really worth it. Well, which just makes the achievement all the more incredible, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it does. And they were able to keep focus, and the people at NASA and at all the contractors and all the and the military and all the people that were so integrally involved in getting the logistics of this done, because it was a logistical. It's the greatest logistical success of human history, without question.
2% of the American workforce was involved in the space program in one way or another at its peak. It's incredible. One out of every 50 American workers.
I think
it's
one of
just unbelievable.
I think one of the great observations that was made in Apollo 13 in the feature film was when these guys were going to be on television, right? And when the mission was routine and they were on their way back to the moon. And the networks decided not to go with them, not to go with just, you know, a regular sort of rah-rah, hey, we're up here, we're a day
old
away from the moon,
now, yeah.
You know, you'd say hello to the kids. And they didn't do it because they're like, yeah, we've done it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about that, you know, in this perspective. You know, it's like we are literally leaving the Earth and going to stand somewhere else out in space. And yes, it's our nearest satellite. So yes, that may be, it may seem like old hat, but 50 years ago, it was not old hat. And there was every opportunity. And it's an amazing thing, too, that other than in training, in two separate training incidents, there, you know, we had not lost any of the astronauts until we got, in space, we hadn't lost them until we got into the shuttle program. So it was.
It's incredible.
It is incredible when you think about it.
And it's. I think the fact that everything went so well has caused us, I think, to get a little complacent about just how risky such missions are. I mean, every one of those missions to the moon was touch and go, especially Apollo 11, and of course Apollo 13, which. Very nearly didn't come back, but we never lost anyone in space during that era. And but it's an incredibly challenging thing. I think the idea of going all the way to Mars, which is orders of magnitude more complicated and more distant, and expecting that to work flawlessly the first time is a dicey, dicey proposition.
Yeah, it is a tough one.
You watch the film and you see how much of each step was worked out carefully, bit by bit, to build the building blocks to make that mission successful. It's pretty extraordinary. It wasn't just hopping in a rocket and going to the moon and waving a flag. It was really complicated.
And obviously, you know, technology has changed, and the ability to have external thinking on this, you know, using machines to do computations and solve logistical issues, that's all great. That's all very, very well and good. But you still have to have the humans putting the data in. You have to have the humans doing the work. You have to have the humans testing all of this equipment. And you have to somehow be able to keep... when it comes to the rigors of space, we're a pretty delicate flower, humans. And to be able to get us up there and back.
Incredible.
And plus, they'll be taking delicate flowers up there, too, to see how they do, too. You know how that always goes. So it is what it is. All right, Robert Stone, congratulations. This is amazing work. American Experience, Chasing the Moon is the name of the film. It's part two is tonight on Channel 11, WTTW, at 8 o'clock Chicago time. And you can go on the internet and go to Channel 11, give them some money and get it. I'm sure you can get this film as well, but you can also you'll find this as
watch
it moves forward. Yeah, it really is something
beautiful,
special.
Beautiful work.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Robert
Take care.
Stone. Let's Incredible. Talk now with Kim Gordon. No relation. What's going on?
Is the Humboldt Park Lagoon the next Alligator Alley? We'll have more coming up.
Oh, too simple. You know what? Too easy. You just took the easy shot there.
You know what?
Alligator Alley. Please.
See you later,
Please.
Alligator.
Oh, say I knew it!